Welcome to episode 34 of Your Kids Next Read podcast, in which we talk about books and reading for kids of all ages. And welcome back for the new year. We are very, very excited to be back on your in your headphones, in your ears again. I'm Alison Tate, author of middle grade adventure series The Mapmaker Chronicles, The Adaban Cipher, and my latest The Maven and Reeve mystery series. And I'm here with my co-host, the refreshed Megan Daly, celebrity teacher librarian, blogger at Children's Books Daily, and author of Raising Readers, How to Nurture a Child's Love of Books. Megan and I, along with our good friend author Alison Rushby, are founders of the Your Kids Next Read community on Facebook. Search for Your Kids Next Read there to join us. Megan, it's been some weeks since we last spoke and I have missed our chats, I really have, but I'm of course also desperate to find out what has been occurring in Megan land over the last few weeks.
Look, a lot of crossing off of holiday jobs, as I'm sure lots of people have been doing. We've just been to the dentist this week, twice, in fact. The first time we went, my girls, who are 13 and 10, fought outside the dentist's office, and it was unbelievably embarrassing, and one of them ended up throwing water over the other, and I just was mortified. I just stormed out, was like, girls, you are too old to do this.
Oh, it's always such a prime parenting moment, isn't it?
Oh, I just was mortified. And for context, my dentist is my sister-in-law and she is divine. Shout out to Dr. Amy Daly of McNab Dental. She's fantastic. She's a great dentist. But I just feel like every time we go there, maybe because it's their auntie, they just are like, something always happens. So the second time I went to the dentist, we had two trips to do. Actually, it was for me. I had to have an old amalgam filling replaced. The second time I left some of the kids with my mum and I just took Chickpea, the 10-year-old, in with me, and it went much better. And I actually texted my sister-in-law later that day and I was like, I just love your dental work. Is that a thing? And she did text me back. She was chuffed, I think, and she assured me that it was. I actually really love going to the dentist, which I know might. I love it. I really enjoy going to the dentist.
No.
There's so many things to love. I love how clean my teeth are. I quite like the drill.
No.
I quite lying there in the chair. I just feel comfort in knowing that nothing will fall out of my mouth.
She must be amazing because I hate going to the dentist. I mean, there's no reason for it. Like, I just have an irrational dislike of it. I found myself there. So I also was, 2021, Alison was very organized and she decided that we were all going to get the dental stuff out the way. So she booked an appointment for Book Boy before Christmas, got him in, got him done because he's, on his way out the door. So I thought, well, at least he'll go with pearly white
clean teeth.
And then I thought, I booked myself in because I thought there's a few maintenance things that, have gone by the wayside a bit over the last, couple of years really because of COVID. I have been to the dentist, but maybe not as frequently as I should have been. Anyway, I thought, okay, I'm going to get on top of this. So, I booked the doctor, I booked the dentist for the 4th of January.
Oh, Al, that's so organized.
I don't know what I was thinking though, because 2022, Alison, was sitting there at 10 o'clock on the 4th of January in the dentist waiting room, hating 2021, Alison. Like, there I am in the dentist. Everyone else is at the beach and I'm in the dentist waiting room. But anyway, it's all done. We've got haircuts out the way. We've got the boosters booked. We've got, we're down to, I'm down now to having to get the school supplies for Book Boy Junior for year 10. So that's a thing. And also going through, poor thing, he always says to me, like, he's just like, can we just get one fresh new shirt for me? Do I have to have a hammy? Because he just gets the hand-me-downs, And it's not only the hand-me-downs from Book Boy, but Book Boy was getting hand-me-downs from someone else, So they're kind of like, but they just, they just gallop. He is galloping through clothing sizes to the point where I just, he's grown. We were having the whole, ruler on top of the head thing as to whether he was taller than me before Christmas. And now, I'm looking at his nose. Like he's just gone up so much, like just over the last sort of 4 to 6 weeks. And I just said to him, you can just wear the hand-me-downs absolutely. Until you get bigger than
until
the...
you stabilize.
Yeah, your... yeah, exactly. Like once you've stabilized, he goes, but the biggest one's a size 20, Mum. I'm not going to get bigger than that. I'm like, you might. You just don't know. Anyway, but we're also trying to organize Book Boy to move to Sydney. So that's a whole nother level of...
so exciting.
Well, exciting for him. It is doing my head in. Anyone out there who has been through this of having the kid, you know, move out of home at 18 will know my... It is exciting, but it is also just so strange.
Yeah.
It's so strange. But anyway, it'll be even weirder once he's gone. And it's just, I think Book Boy Jr. is terrified of being the focal point of two sets of parental eyes at all times.
You know? I could send you another child.
Oh, you've got a few to spare.
I have some spare.
Well, I don't know if I could go back, babe. I don't know if I could. Anyway, let's talk about our book mail for this week. What have you got in the post?
I've had some really lovely book mail over the last few weeks, and I've been reading quite a lot over the holidays, but I've been reading a lot of picture books, and I've got a few that I want to share. The first one is Tractor by Sally Sutton and illustrated by Brian Lovelock, and I love this author-illustrator duo. I think they're from New Zealand. So this one is a picture book aimed at, I would say, or definitely at preschoolers, but our five-year-old loved it as well. It's part of a series called the Roadwork series, and others in the series are Wheels, Dig, Dump, Roll, and Roadwork. And this one is about tractors. And the beekeeper, I listened to him reading this to the five-year-old the other day, and they had such a great time, and I had read it to one of our neighbours. It's about going to the farm and seeing all the tractors ploughing and spraying and moving and harvesting. And it's just it's got a really nice rhythm to it. And for any little child who loves a bit of movement and a bit of construction vehicles, particularly, I mean, I loved John Deere tractor as a child. I'm sure John Deere was one of my first words. I used to love sitting on the John Deere tractor with my granddad. I would sit up on the side. I'm sure that was illegal. But I do have a fondness for a tractor. So Tractor by Sally Sutton really appealed to me. My next one is one that is I am just seeing on social media everywhere this week. It is called The Wild Guide to Starting School.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that everywhere as well.
Yeah, and it's written by Laura Bunting and illustrated by Philip Bunting, who are, of course, one of my favourite husband-wife writing, illustrating duos. They live up here in the Sunshine State in Queensland. And this is, my new favourite starting school book. It's on a par for me with Starting School by Jane Godwin. So in The Wild Guide to Starting School, which Laura has written, it starts with a welcome, and it's got all Australian animals who have featured in some of their other fantastic books like Kookaburra and the Koala and the Echidna. And it's sort of a guide, I guess. So the first page has got school essentials. It's a good idea to test out your equipment before your first day to make sure you know how to use it properly. And it talks about what sticky tape is to be used for and what not to be used for, like turning your teacher into a sticky, grumpy mummy. And then it's got feelings, a page about feelings, a page about drop-off. I thought that was a really good page that potentially the beekeeper needed to read before the five-year-old started prep last year. It's about a quick farewell. they weren't so good at the quick farewell.
No, they're not easy, the quick farewell.
No, they're not. No. Oh, look, I think it's because I'm an early childhood teacher. I just was well aware of the quick farewell, whereas the beekeeper didn't seem to have that down pat. It was extended, which caused trauma. Anyway, the drop-offs are much better this year. Towards the end of the year. But, yeah, I love The Wild Guide to Starting School, and I wish we had have had this one for the five-year-old last year. It's absolutely beautiful. Typically Laura and Philip Bunting style. So much fun, as much fun as for the parents as for the child.
Isn't it funny, though, because you get, you know, you have that thing at the start of the starting school thing of, you know, the extended farewell, et cetera. And by the time you get to about grade four, you're at the drop and roll. You're like shoving them out the car as they roll off onto the footpath speed off into the night.
It's just our 10-year-old is starting at a new school in a couple of weeks, and it occurred to me that neither of us would be able to take her to her first day at her new school. I was like, you'll be all right with that, won't you? And she was like, yeah, no worries. It changes very quickly.
It does, doesn't it?
You'll be fine. Do you reckon you could catch the train that day as well?
I get the bus. Yeah.
And then I'm going to jump up a long way into young adult territory. And this is a recommendation from Pudsta, who is 13 going on 14. And all of her friends have been completely and utterly obsessed these summer holidays with the Karen McManus series, which starts with One of Us is Lying.
Yeah, very good.
The Bee Keeper and I had a little bit of a tense moment in a bookshop at Noosa where I said to Pudster, no, I think that one's a little bit old for you. And he took it up to the counter and he said, is this one too old for her? And the lovely lady behind the counter said, oh, no, it's a good one for a 14-year-old, and went through it a bit. And as we walked out, I said, that is my territory, Beekeeper. Like, do not be questioning my age recommendations.
Hiss under the voice.
Oh, it was a hiss.
I can imagine. Goodness me.
Anyway, she actually read the entire book that afternoon. We were back at said bookshop the next morning, purchasing the second and then the third one. And all of her friends have been reading them. And she tells me they're perfectly appropriate for a 13, 14-year-old. They are murder mysteries. It goes, one of us is lying, one of us is next, two can keep a secret, and the cousins. And I believe there's a movie in the making of the first one.
Yeah, all the teenagers I know have really enjoyed those as well. I read One of Us is Lying myself. I can't remember how inappropriate it was.
You were checking for appropriateness.
No, I was reading it because I thought it sounded good.
Okay.
It's like The Breakfast Club meets, you know, a murder mystery.
Mm.
And as a – like it's an interesting thing because as an older person and as a reader and also as a writer, I could see the ending like coming a mile away.
Yeah.
But every teenager that I know that's read it has been like, oh, it was such a surprise. I thought, there you go. But anyway, all right. So, yeah, actually, so I recommend them too. I would say 14 myself, 14 plus.
Yeah.
And I think that they're great. They're plot driven. So they're going to be, you know, for me, they're right in my wheelhouse from that perspective. Now, as far as my book mail goes, I got quite a lot over the break. So I'm quite excited. So I will have book mail to share for the next few weeks, even if nothing comes in. Publishers. But I received an advanced limited edition bound proof of Xavier in the Meantime by Kate Gordon, which comes out on the 1st of February, and I'm very excited about that. It is sort of like one of the companion novels to her Asta's Good Right Thing, Good Right Things, rather, which won the CBCA Book of the Year in 2021. And it deals with sort of similar territory, and I, you know, think that, you know, it's Kate Gordon, so how can we go wrong, right?
And how much did you love Xavier and his dressing? I was living for his clothes.
I know. I've only just sort of really begun reading it.
I loved it so much.
Because we have a bit of exciting news around this book coming, but you have to stand by for exciting news around that. So I've received that. It's out on the 1st of February, and I think if you've loved Kate's other books, then there's no reason why you're not going to love this one as well.
You're going to love it.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. You have it from the horse's mouth over there. You're going to love it. Now, I also have a graphic novel here called Camp by Kayla Miller, which, of course, is, you know, one of her in her sort of Click series. Great for the last few weeks of holidays. It's set at a camp, and it deals with friendships and all of that sort of middle grade territory. And I just think there's so much great stuff coming out in this sort of graphic novel area, and it's the kind of thing I would have eaten with a spoon when I was, you know, in that sort of age group. So I've got that one. And the other one I received, which looks really interesting, which I have not as yet read either, is for Readers 9 Plus, and I think it looks amazing. So it's a spy series. It's called Swift and Hawk Cyber Spies. It's by Logan Max, which is actually it's a collaboration jointly written by two best-selling adult authors, Edward Dox and Matthew Plampin, and it's about two sort of teen experts in AI and robotics. I mean, you know, talk about right in there.
Yeah.
Who have to kind of go into a life and death rescue mission to rescue their families. So high octane action stuff for kids who love that. Again, you know, strong adventure, plot-driven spy stories. Can you go wrong with that? I don't think you can. And that's our book mail for this week.
Do you have a kid aged 9 to 14 who loves to write, or one who'd love to write better? Send them on a creative writing quest with best-selling author Alison Tate. With 12 online modules, the course will take your young writer from ideas to finished story with personalised video feedback from Alison on their complete masterpiece. Find out more at writercentre.com.au/quest. That's writercentre.com.au/quest.
All right, we are going to move on, Megan Daly, because we have a very exciting bingo question to deal with this week. And our bingo question for this week is all about getting ready for high school. So we did, our last episode of last year was all about sort of getting ready for school. And we talked about you have a webinar, don't you?
I do.
Getting ready for reading,
yeah,
basically.
Getting reading ready for school, yeah. And what parents can expect from school readers and how they can support their young reader in, you know, really loving reading at school. Because it's quite different to just doing your picture book bedtime reading at home. School reading is a bit of a step up. And so my webinar, which is a replay, goes through some of the things that you can do to support school reading.
Okay, so what I wanted to talk about this week then, just sort of on top of that, so that was getting ready for big school when you've got a little person, and this is about more getting ready for high school, you know, sort of reading around that. And so there's a couple of things I think we need to consider here, because I think it's really worth noting the step up into reading at high school, particularly if yours is a school that studies novels in the first year for English. That not all schools do, but some schools will get them straight into, you know, dissecting novels, you know, from year seven onwards. And I think for that reason, it is actually worth trying to ease your kid, you know, from those sort of wimpy kid, sort of more graphic style books into more intensive reading in these sort of last few weeks of the holidays. I'm not suggesting that we throw curriculum books at them, unless, of course, they do have a reading list, which needs to be done. And we did have a great chat about this in episode 5, where we talked about, you know, moving out of those sort of funny books into books that have that similar funny voice but with fewer illustrations, and just trying to get to the bottom of what they're truly interested in about the books they're reading over and over, because it could be the friendships. It might be the fact that things always turn out in the end. Like, some kids are just really looking for that in a book because life is so uncertain for them. And it's always a good idea to sort of ask at your local library or your local bookseller for suggestions. I think the other thing is just to try to get them prepared to try different things, because sometimes I think kids and parents get them into a sort of, they'll be in the sort of like, we know what they like, so we're going to buy what they like idea. Because sometimes people ask me a lot, if I, you know, friends and acquaintances, and I get random emails of people sort of asking me for different suggestions for different age groups or whatever. And I will make a suggestion about a great book, but the adult in question who is buying the book for the kid will be unsure because they've never heard of it. And I think you need to try it because the kid might like it. It may not necessarily be what you think they might like, but if someone with some kind of expertise in this area says, have a crack at this one, it's worth trying it, even though you've never necessarily heard of it. Does that make sense, Megan? Do you get that?
It does. And just, I get that all the time. And just a note there, if I hand my 13-year-old a book or even my 10-year-old a book and say, oh, such a great book, you are going to love it sick, I can assure you it will not be read. But I always think that it's, like, and do it in high school as well. I think that getting to know the teacher librarian, if your school has one, getting to know the English teacher, and getting some aunties and uncles type people around your teens is a great way to recommend books, but they also become much more peer driven.
That was going to be my next point.
Yeah.
Word of mouth among kids in this age group and going into high school and through high school is absolutely essential. So it's always worth, you know, keeping your ear to the ground for what other kids are reading, or getting, you know, ask, you know, if there's an avid reader that you know, ask them what they're reading, because if it's recommended by a peer, it's going to have a lot more impact than if you're doing it.
Yeah.
But the other thing, of course, is that when you're starting high school, there is a whole lot of stuff around starting high school. There's a lot of anxiety that comes with starting high school. And I think what happens is that parents look for starting high school books, you know what I mean? Like a guide to starting high school or I don't actually think kids read them. I mean,
I think
we buy them, and I think kids don't necessarily read them. So my recommendation for this would be to be looking for fiction that depicts the kinds of things that they might be experiencing, like thinking and feeling. And also remembering always that your kid's high school journey, and this was a great bit of advice that I got when I was in, when my oldest started year seven, remembering that your kid's high school journey is not necessarily your high school journey, which is not always easy when it all comes, you know, they put their high school uniform on and it all comes flooding back. Suddenly you remember exactly what it was like to be starting high school and be in the playground and all of the stuff that goes on with that. But I do think that looking for books, you know, with that sort of hot, that are set in high schools, being a bit choosy because we don't want to terrify them. Like some of the books are fantastic, but not necessarily for 12-year-olds because,
absolutely,
you know, when we're dealing with, you know, gang warfare in the playground, it's not necessarily what we want them reading before they even get there on day one. And it's also always worth remembering your sort of age and maturity of your reader, because some readers are a lot more ready for different things than
Just
others.
Just on that, if you are concerned about maturity of your child, say going into the first year of high school and the school library, a lot of school libraries in high schools have like a year seven section. And I know that the libraries I've worked at have all had that, because it is like when you leave a primary school library and go into the high school library, it's like this whole world of just sex, drugs and rock and roll in books opens up to your child.
And it's like,
for
them.
But some of them will be absolutely not ready for the maturity level of some of them. So if you're concerned about that, again, have a chat to their form teacher or to the teacher librarian or their English teacher. And I would say that you will discover that quite a lot of the high schools have got this section for the just new to high school age range. So that's really worth noting. You're not going to suddenly be bringing home books which are full of all sorts of things, hopefully.
Maybe, but maybe you are. I mean, I don't
know.
Maybe you are, but I don't know. Because like Book Boy Junior is currently reading The F Team by Rawa Arja and loving it. Like, but, you know, it's set at Punchbowl High. It's about rugby league. It's got teams from opposing high schools. It's funny, but it's for me, it's a bit of an old, it's not necessarily, you know, something I'd be giving like a 12-year-old necessarily. So I think it pays to look widely, ask for information and sort of be open to different things, but also understand your reader and know where they're up to. So we do have some recommendations. What have you got for us, Megan?
Well, I know that we mentioned Nova Wheatman a lot, but The Edge of 13 is absolutely perfect for this age group. I have so enjoyed that one, and I know my daughter really, really enjoyed that one. I also really love, in very much the same vein, As Happy As Here by Jane Godwin. And Super Con Nerd by Oliver Pomervan.
Oh, that is so funny. And my oldest son loved that book when he was about year seven.
Yeah.
That is high school funny for that age group. That's great. Yeah.
And a lot of primary schools, we certainly used Con Nerd, the first one, when the boy was in year five. We used that for Reader's Cup.
Yes,
and Super
I
Con
remember
Nerd
that. Yeah.
Has him starting high school. I think Wonder by R.J. Palaceo is a really good one. Lockie Leonard, Human Torpedo by Tim Winton. And now that one is an older one, but it's still in publication and it continues to be unbelievably popular. Lockie Leonard just has this timeless quality to it, and Tim Winton's done a really good job of ensuring. I read that one again actually last year. I can't even remember why, but it's still incredibly current and it's
well,
got some great
I
issues.
Asked on Twitter because I was just like doing, because finding books for about kids starting high school with, you know, male protagonists, I found it a bit more difficult, to be honest. And I was like, what books do you recommend, Twitter? And this one, Lockie Leonard, was overwhelmingly, wham, the number one that came back at me. So, and to be honest, I've never read it, but I am now going to read it.
Really fantastic book. I think I've said on here before, and I always get lampooned on social media when I say this, I'm not actually a massive Tim Winton fan of his adult books, but I love his young adult stuff and I love Lockie Leonard. And the other one that I'd really recommend is the Specky McGee series by Felice Arena. It's got boys around high school age, plus lots of stuff about AFL. The AFL bit's not really for me. But again, I love the Specky McGee character and really great one for teen and tween boys.
Well, and on that as well, there's also Detention by Tristan Banks, which is at high school level, which is actually on the curriculum, and you may end up, you know, reading that. But it's also, it's a very accessible, highly readable, quite fast-paced story, you know, for just for fun. So don't let it put you off that it's on the curriculum.
No, because I was going to say that earlier, actually. Us as teachers sometimes, I remember apologising to Tristan that we were going to destroy detention for a whole heap of year 7 or 8 kids. I think we did it in year 8 at St Aidan's, because we pull them apart. So, you know, sorry, Tristan, for the year 8 girls at St Aidan's, we did rather destroy detention studying it for months
on
end.
It's funny though, isn't it? Because anything you study at school, you just never, ever feel quite the same way about. Yeah, you do. You remember it forever, not necessarily fondly. One that I do remember fondly and that Bookboy also loved is Diary of Adrian Mole by Sue Townsend, which remains incredibly funny. He's aged 13 and 3/4. It's about acne, puberty, you know,
I
whatever.
Loved that one.
Just funny, first crushes, all of that kind of stuff. And on the subject of Nova Weekman, I actually asked Nova to recommend a couple of books. So she recommends 6 Impossible Things by Fiona Wood, which has a 14-year-old male protagonist, high school. And also she and Emily Gale recommended Balloon Girls by Daryl Pitt in a recent list that we had put together. I think it's always a good idea to have I like the idea of the big life journal for teens and tweens, because I think sometimes just having somewhere to have an outlet for all of this, you know, high school is there's so much going on and you're learning so much, and socially there's just that crazy stuff that goes on. Year 7 is hilarious. I find it really funny to observe, not so funny when you're in the middle of it. But there's a lot going on. So I think giving a kid a journal, which allows them to kind of get a lot of that stuff out of their heads in a very, you know, private and intimate way, is a really, really good idea. Graphic novels are always great. We love them. There's New Kid by Jerry Craft. There's Making Friends by Christina Gudsnuk. I think that's how you would say it, Gudsnuk. We will, of course, put all of these in the show notes, which you'll find at yourkidsnextread.com.au. And then we also have Tiger Daughter by Rebecca Lim and You Must Be Layla by Yasmin Abdel Magid are other recommendations in that area. So it's just about sort of like what you want to sort of offer them are books that are in the wheelhouse of where they are with their thoughts and their feelings and things, characters that they might be able to identify with or learn from, and then just that we're just looking to give them that experience of knowing that they're not the only ones. I think that's what we're after with, you know, getting ready for high school. But I would also recommend, you know, as from a writing perspective, let's try to open them up a little bit at this point, because it's going to help their high school writing to have a wider reading sort of net to draw on, no matter, you know, what they love to read, and what they love to read is essential, and we need to keep giving them that, but just try to broaden them out a little bit at this point, because otherwise, you know, the kind of high school reading and high school writing can come as a huge shock, and, you know, nobody needs a huge shock in their lives, do they?
They do not.
Nobody. Now, we move to our quick tips, and I have to confess I've got absolutely zero in this area because I am still in holiday mode and I haven't thought about it. So my quick tip would be get yourself more organized than Alison is this week, because that would be helpful. But Megan, of course, is on it.
Look, I'm only on it because in Queensland, we have had our school holidays extended by 2 weeks due to the Omicron variant. And that has been met with mixed emotions because I am back at school this week. And so I'm back at school, but my 4 children are not back at school. And so schools in Queensland, and in fact, all around the country and all around the world, are still doing a little bit of that kind of blended learning. And a lot of families are very much choosing to stay low in the world at the moment. So I was going to circle back to a blog post that I did in, let me see, April 2020, when I was working at St Aidan's, and we worked really hard on our at-home learning program then. And I have had so many people email me and thank me for what St Aidan's allowed me to share of what we did in our library. And we created, so I thought if I link to that post for my quick tip this week, if you are doing some at-home learning as a teacher, this could be useful. But also if you are just choosing to stay a little bit low in the world and want something for your own children to do at home, we created some kind of, I guess, reading response sheets, but they were really fun ones. They were makerspace ones, which I created with Jackie Child, some writing ideas and some reading response ideas. So they, you print them out and they're like a really pretty placemat, and there's, you read a book and then there's different things that you can do. So like draw a selfie with the main character, recreate the book end papers. Oh, that must have been my idea.
I think that was your idea.
Just read that one out.
I'm just going to say that was your idea, knowing how much you love an end paper.
Oh my gosh. This one was definitely Jackie's. Using a shoebox or an old box, create a diorama based on the book. Create a scene from the book out of your Lego. They were definitely both Jackie's ideas.
Yeah, that's Jackie.
Yeah, but we did a whole heap of ideas that you could do. And we made a little chatterbox as well, and a little game, which was actually bee themed. I think that was a little bit of a joke towards me. But we did some really fun stuff. And so I'm certainly using those again. And I've actually used them again with the smallest bees over the Christmas holidays, just to keep them a little bit engaged with writing and creating from books. So I'm going to put that up as my quick tip for this week, and I hope that some of you find it really useful.
Well, I think that's incredibly helpful of you, because at least you've got a quick tip, whereas I have not, and I'm okay with that for this week. I'll be back with, I don't know, some kind of major excitement next week. Speaking of which, what are we doing in the coming week? Like, we've got, you know, before we meet again.
Well, I have the annual hay fever debacle. I suffer terribly from hay fever every January when there's a particular tree in Brisbane that is flowering and I just want to cut it down all over the state. But I cannot, apparently.
No.
So I spend most of January and most of February sticking Fez nasal sprays up my nose and taking all manner of antihistamines.
So there's a visual that none of us can now ever leave behind, isn't
there? Oh, no. Well, I discussed it on Instagram with a whole heap of my followers, and people were incredibly helpful and gave me lots of detail. So, you know, if you are also suffering from hay fever, visit my social media. You know, not only is there book recommendations, there's Fez spray recommendations.
And you'll find Megan at Children's Books Daily on Instagram if you'd like to go forth with the hay fever info.
I know. And then my 13-year-old, she's got really bad hay fever, but to the point that she's actually having immune therapy, and she's meant to be having injections every week, but it's incredibly expensive and the medications arrive from Spain. And of course, with the world at the way it is, they have not arrived. So she is also upped on her meds terribly at the moment, and is one great big ball of sneezing. And it's just not a great time in the world to be sneezing, is it?
No, it's not. No, that's very, very true. Well, I will be, doing my usual things, working on a picture book that I'm working on.
Yay.
And also moving Book Boy. There is a lot of admin involved in having a new adult. Like, they have to give their own Medicare card and, you know, all sorts of those little details of things that you just don't really think about, that suddenly you're like, wait a minute, we're going to have to do this, this, this and this before you go. So that's what I'll be doing. I'll be managing that. But, of course, where will we find you in the interim? Where can people come to you apart from Children's Books Daily on Instagram? Where else are you?
Oh, look, I'll be hanging out at the doctor, hoping for a bit of immune therapy from Spain, but I'll also be hanging out on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook at Children's Books Daily and at childrensbooksdaily.com.
And you will find me at alisontate.com. You will find me on Twitter at Al Tate, A-L-T-A-I-T. And you'll find me on Facebook and Instagram at Alison Tate Writer. But you will, of course, find both of us, as well as the lovely Alison Rushby, in our Your Kids Next Read Facebook community. So if you haven't already joined us, we would love to see you there. We have a very welcoming and generous community over there. So it doesn't matter what your kid is into, we will find a book for you, trust me. And you'll find us if you just search it up on Facebook at Your Kids Next Read. And we will see you again next week.
That we will.